The Israelites found themselves in a very weak and vulnerable position. You see, after around 70 years of living in exile under the Babylonian Empire, the Persian army eventually came and overpowered and defeated the Babylonians. And this gave the Israelites reason to rejoice and shout because the king of Persia permitted them to return to their homeland, allowing the Israelites to return to Jerusalem, the holy city of God, and to live and dwell as God's chosen people, the Israelites. But their rejoicing very quickly would have been diminished, because for many of these Israelites, well, they had only heard about the destruction that had taken place so many years before, but now they would have been confronted with it face to face. They would have seen the buildings in ruin, the fields ravaged. They even would have seen the temple, the dwelling place of God, as just a pile of stone. And as they would have been confronted with all of these sights, it would have been very apparent to the Israelites that they as a nation were lowly and humble. They would have been confronted with the fact that they as a nation were weak. But to this weak Israelite nation, Zechariah prophesied that the day was coming when their king was going to enter Jerusalem to bring them victory, and it was going to be a day of rejoicing and shouting. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. Zechariah said this day would come. And we heard the fulfillment of these words in our gospel reading for today. The day that we know as Palm Sunday. But when King Jesus entered Jerusalem on the week of his passion with the citizens of God's city shouting and rejoicing. And the reason the people rejoiced is because they knew what kings did. Kings fought battles. And the best kings won. The best kings overpowered and defeated all of the enemies that stood in the way of him and his people so that he could grant them peace, security, and prosperity. And typically, the best kings would enter the cities of his people on war horses with chariots, surrounded by armies equipped with swords, spears, and bows strung for battle, displaying his military might to the people to assure them that nobody would overpower and defeat them. But this isn't how Jesus entered Jerusalem. No, Jesus instead entered Jerusalem the way Zechariah said he would. No war horses, no chariots, no swords, spears, or bows strung for battle. But don't be fooled, because this doesn't mean that Jesus wasn't armed and equipped for battle. He was. He was fully armed and equipped for battle. But Jesus was armed and equipped the way Zechariah said he would be. See, your king comes to you righteous and brings salvation. Jesus entered the city of his people with a righteousness that leads to salvation. These were his weapons, because Jesus wasn't going to battle against an enemy that was going to be armed with war horses, chariots, swords, spears, and bows strung for battle. No, Jesus was going to battle against an enemy of unrighteousness that, if left undefeated, would lead to damnation. An enemy that we know all too well. Unrighteousness that leads us to live lives drowning in sin. Sin that corrupts relationships, disrupts peace, suffocates joy, and causes separation from God. And separation from God, well, that's damnation. And our enemy of unrighteousness is an enemy that so easily overpowers us, is an enemy that we can never hope to defeat on our own, because we are in a vulnerable position. We are in a position of spiritual weakness. But see that you don't have to face this enemy alone, because your king comes to you. Jesus entered Jerusalem on this Sunday so that you wouldn't have to fight this enemy alone. In fact, Jesus entered Jerusalem so that you wouldn't have to face this enemy at all, because Jesus knew that there was nothing that we could ever do to assist him and help him in defeating this enemy. Because after all, how can unrighteousness be used to defeat unrighteousness? And how can damnation be defeated and conquered by those who deserve to be condemned? No, Jesus knew that he and he alone could go to battle against our enemy of unrighteousness that leads to damnation, because he knew that he and he alone could enter into this battle with a righteousness that leads to salvation. But how exactly would our King go into this battle? Would he use the fullness of his might and power to defeat and to crush this enemy? This is what most kings did, after all, using their military strength to overpower and crush any enemy that stood in their way. But not this king, not our king, because that's not how unrighteousness is defeated. No, our king instead went into this battle the way Zechariah said he would go into this battle. Your king comes to you humble and riding on a donkey. Our king entered into this battle with humility. Forget overpowering and crushing the enemy. No, he went into this battle with a humility that was going to lead him to submit to the enemy. A humility that was going to lead him to take our unrighteousness onto his very own shoulders and endure the damnation that we deserved. He took it upon himself. He suffered it himself. He paid the price himself. This is how our King won victory. And in doing so, his righteousness has overpowered and defeated our unrighteousness. And he has won for us salvation in the place of damnation. As we once again walk with Jesus this Holy Week, see that your King goes to battle for you. See this battle culminate on the cross, the place where his righteousness defeats our unrighteousness, and the place where he wins salvation in the place of damnation. And then rejoice that Jesus continues to rule and reign in the same way today. He continues to come to you to grant security and peace. But notice how Jesus is armed as he rules today. Still no war horses, chariots, swords, spears, or bows strung for battle. No, this is something else that Zechariah prophesied about in the verses before us this morning, where Zechariah told us he will proclaim peace to the nations, and his kingdom will extend from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. Do you see the weapon your king uses now as he rules and reigns? Does he now use the almighty crushing force of his hand to overpower and defeat all of the enemies in this world? No. But do we sometimes wish that he would? After all, we see all of the enemies of unrighteousness warring against us as his followers and against him as the one true king in our world today. These enemies are all over the place. They're in our societies, our communities, our governments, schools, colleges. They're all over the place. And because we see all of these enemies warring against you, Jesus, isn't it time for you to go to war against them? Isn't now the time to rise up and to overpower and defeat and crush all of these enemies that stand in your way? Isn't now the time to bring out the war horses, the chariots, the swords, spears, and the bows strung for battle to crush and defeat all of these enemies? Can we get so caught up in wishing that this is how Jesus and the church through which he rules should operate using the force of his almighty hand to crush and defeat and overpower all of the unrighteousness that exists in our world here, now, and today. How foolish we can be to think that Jesus should rule differently than he did on the very week that he accomplished our salvation. For if Jesus ruled by using the almighty force of his hand to overpower and crush all of the unrighteousness in this world, we would be crushed right alongside all of it. Because the unrighteousness that exists outside in the world all around us also exists right here in our very own hearts. That unrighteousness continues to lurk inside of us. We have sinful natures that on this side of heaven will continue to war and rebel against our King Jesus. So how foolish we can be to wish that Jesus would use his almighty hand to crush and defeat and overpower all of the unrighteousness in our world, because that's wishing that we too would be crushed and defeated. So how gracious and loving that our King Jesus is, that he rules in the way that he does. That he rules in the exact way that Zechariah said he would. He proclaims peace. The weapon that Jesus uses as he rules here, now, and today is his word. Not the crushing force of his almighty hand, but the gentle whisper of his word. This is how he establishes his reign in fragile human hearts. And because this is what Jesus uses to establish his reign, we aren't crushed. Jesus proclaims peace to the nations. He proclaims the very thing that we celebrate this week. He proclaims the victory that his righteousness would win over our unrighteousness, and the salvation that he would win in the place of our damnation. And because he rules with this message, Jesus rules in our hearts with peace. So instead of wishing that Jesus would rule differently by using the almighty crushing force of his hand, see him rule in the way that he does. See him rule through the proclamation of his word. And then see his reign extend from the river all the way to the ends of the earth. And then as you see this happening, see him use you to extend his reign too. Because all you have to do is proclaim. Proclaim this. Proclaim peace. Proclaim the victory that his righteousness has won over our unrighteousness, and the salvation that he has won in the place of our damnation. And then rejoice and shout as you see more and more brought into his kingdom. As you see, through the proclamation of his word, he continues to establish his reign in the hearts of those who hear this message. All because of what we celebrate on this week. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See that your king comes to you. And he is armed for battle with humility and righteousness. He is armed exactly with everything that he needs to win for you, me, and all people salvation. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.